In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. We started last week talking about happiness, and I told you about the very first secret of happiness from the Gospel of St. Matthew in chapter 18, as God said that we must be converted and become as little children. Before I start, I would like to remind you just quickly of what we said last week, where being a child doesn't mean that we go in the wrong way. We should always watch for the difference between true and false happiness. And I give you many examples. Being a child doesn't mean that somebody will invite you to go to drink. Even young people, as I mentioned, who are invited to graduation party and they are in high school, that should not be, or anyone from outside, or being dressed in a wrong way, like the outside world, which is not part of our church. We're completely different. We're God's children, and we should not be acting or dressing or even eating or drinking in any way like anybody who is not God's son or daughter. The second secret that God revealed to us today is not to worry about materialistic things. A very good example in the book of Luke today, when he talks about feeding 5,000 men, not counting women and the children. So if you take it on the average, like a man is married and have a child, so 3 times 5 would be a minimum of 15,000. Back in the days, they did not have family planning, they did not have only one child, as you know. So if you tell me some of them were singles, factor in the number of children. There could be more than 2, 3, maybe 5, or even 10. At least 15,000 were fed by 5 loaves and 2 fish. Think about this one and take it into your heart that God will never ever forsake you and will leave you hungry one day. And by hunger now, I do not mean only food. It could be anything that you need. You are worried about your car, your house, your TV, your clothes. Nothing to worry about whatsoever if you believe in God. And if you trust that He is your Heavenly Father, you will be very happy and content with what you have. And not to look outside that somebody else has something much better than yourself. A better car, a better house, a better job. Be satisfied with what you have. The Lord said in the book of Luke, in chapter 12, take heed and beware of covetousness, meaning greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. It is not how much you possess, it's not how much you gain or how much you have in money or clothes or house or car. That should not be it. That will never ever bring you happiness. One day the car will get old, I will not tell you an accident will be damaged. The house will get old, you will sell it, the TV will throw away, your clothes you have to change. It will go away. You will never and should never ever worry about materialistic things. I was reading a little book by Dr. James Dobson, who focused on the family, and he said something very interesting. So let me quote what he said for you. He said, though I can make no claim to wealth, I have tasted most of the things Americans hunger for. New cars, an attractive home, and gadgets and devices which promise to set us free. Looking at those materialistic positions from the other side of the cash register, I can tell you that they do not deliver the satisfaction they advertise. On the contrary, I have found great wisdom in the adage that says, that which you own will eventually own you. How true that is, having surrendered my hard-earned dollars for a new object only obligates me to maintain and protect it instead of its contributing to my pleasure. I must spend my precious Saturdays oiling it, mowing it, painting it, repairing it, cleaning it, or calling the Salvation Army to haul it off. The time I might have invested in worthwhile family activities is spent in slavery to a depreciating piece of junk. Here is a person who has been writing a lot about family and thought about the many good devices and gadgets and materialistic things that he get. It meant nothing. He found that he is wasting his time to take care of it instead of having it to make him happy. In another word, not to worry about the things, use it. We have no problem whatsoever that you use what you get and own it. But don't let it own you and you find yourself wasting your time taking care of the stuff that you buy and find yourself forgetting your family and your spiritual life and your church. The church is not you come on Sunday and pray the liturgy and go home and that's it. It is a relationship with God. And let me repeat what I said before. I wish that one day we respect the church by turning off our phones before coming in. I'm not sure how important any phone call would be more important than God. If you are coming to the house of God, you really should think before you come in that you turn off your phone. It is the church, the house of God. You must really consider that you are standing before the Most High God, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings himself, and we should give him all the attention and focus of our sitting here. And it upsets me more, not when I hear a ring of a cell phone, when I see people leaving the church to answer the phone, and sadly they open the cell phone inside the church before they go out. They are afraid to miss the call. And you are sitting in the church in the front of God, in the presence of God. You don't care about God that much. It is really upsetting. You as a human being, imagine if we are talking together and every minute you stop, let me answer the phone. Or you keep talking while I'm answering the phone. How would you feel? How would you seriously feel? Technology now is getting very good. We have vibration. If you don't want to turn it off, it's something important, an emergency. You still can set your phone on vibration. It's not a big deal. If you have something more important than God, go to that someone. Go to him and leave God to be in respect and reverence, not to really dishonor your God if you consider him to be God. Coming back to our subject about happiness, that I hope we take it seriously, that the person who does not know God and they try to tell you all the bad things and always be pessimistic and always be upset, he is a person or she is a person that does not know God. A person who knows God really is always happy, all the time. Let me repeat what I said last week. During sermon, during the church, we are very serious. We are soldiers in the Salvation Army of God. That's why when inside the church, when I hear like a cell phone, I got to be angry. I am a soldier here standing before God. The minute we finish and we sit together as a family, we laugh and joke, no problem. But there are times, please read the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, that says, for anything under heaven there is time to laugh, to cry, to weep, for death, for killing, for anything in the spiritual sense. All have time. So time when we are in the church, we are soldiers, where we have to stand very strong. Now, how can I understand that secret really well? The secret, the second secret of happiness, of not worrying about materialistic things. I will make it three short points. Number one, you must focus on eternity, not earth. You must focus on people, not positions. And number three, you must focus on service, not self. The first one, we must focus on eternity, not earth, because no matter how good this world is or seems to be good, it is nothing compared to heaven. I might have told you the story before about the two Christians who lived a very good life and they have good health. They eventually died and went to heaven, and as they are walking along, they were marveling about heaven and paradise and how good it is. One turned to the other and said, wow, I never knew heaven was going to be as good as this. So the other person replied, he said, yeah, you're right. And just think, if we hadn't eaten all that oat bran, we could have been here 10 years sooner. So the truth is, there is none of us know how great and glorious heaven will be. We have the description from the scripture. And we know how it sounds and how it looks, but you will never really imagine how great it is until you see it. We have a feeling of how it is. For example, St. Paul, in the first epistle of Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 9, he said, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. As you know, from chapter 12 in the second book of Corinthians, he went to paradise, he saw it, and he could not describe it. He cannot tell you how good it is. When you have something so good, you can't really describe how it is. But the book of Revelation gives us some idea, very little still. Please listen to Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. It said, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away. Meaning, this sky is gone, the earth where you are walking on also will be gone. Earth and heaven, meaning will be getting settled, meaning getting settled in heaven. Also, there was no more sea, meaning there is no trouble, tribulations that you see outside here. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will, please listen very nicely here, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. So probably one of the best descriptions of heaven is this, in simple word, no tears, no crying, no pain, no suffering, no sorrow. Nothing will hurt you from this world anymore. No bad people, no bad friends. We talked about the friends of this world from a few weeks ago. There is no negative or wicked things that could happen here. There is no terrorist, nobody to scare you in any way. It's all heaven, where God will be with you. So if you think about this now, that's what I will be. Why not prepare myself? If I tell you that we will be going on convention, which we will be going tomorrow, inshallah, for the high school and college convention, what you do? You find yourself waking up tomorrow, oops, we are supposed to be going tomorrow, you have nothing ready. You prepare yourself. You get your stuff and your bags and your clothes and your shirt and all of the stuff that you need, your Bible. Exactly the same way, when I tell you we will be, no matter what, all of us will die, but inshallah we will be with God in heaven. Shouldn't we prepare ourselves for heaven? Just find anyone that you know of who did not die. None. Of course, we know about the story of Elijah and Enoch. That's something different. God saved them to come in the last days to help everybody. But there is no one on earth that did not or will not die. All of us will. So do not let anyone deceive you and tell you there is no hell or there is no heaven. Tell them, we know the truth from the Bible, what the Lord said, and we wait for it, and we prepare ourselves for it. No matter how good life here, it is really nothing compared to how heaven is. Even C.S. Lewis, as all of you know, he wrote so many books that we all like, and I read myself, I give it to many of our youth as a gift. He wrote in a book called Mere Christianity and said, if you read history, you will find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next, the coming life. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this. The minute and the time you start thinking about eternity, you'll be effective here. When we stopped and we kept worried about ourselves, about positions, about materials. We have no role in this world anymore. We do not contribute anymore. We are becoming idols. We do not serve the way it should be. St. Paul said in the book of Colossians chapter 3, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Think about all those things up in heaven, not from earth. That's how you lift up your heart and your mind and be very effective and become a true Christian who enjoy life here on earth and in heaven. The second point, you must focus on people, not positions. We all know that money and material positions are the great goal of most people in life. Everybody is looking for a good job and good education to earn more money, which is, of course, that's fine. But sadly, sometimes we respect people based on how much they have in their bank and how good their car is and how big house they own and how much gadgets they have at their home. And nothing we ever think about how much of God inside them. You start to evaluate person by how he looks and how he wears and how he dresses and what kind of car he drives. That's it. We don't see God in people anymore. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2, St. Paul said, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. I said it 20 million times, I guess, so far, that we are God's children, and if that means you are a leader, you are not a follower. You are a leader. You are God's child. You are a royal family. You are different than anyone outside. I don't care about how they live. What I care about is how I set myself as an example to teach them the truth and the reality of life with God. So go outside as a leader and drive everybody to come to God and let them read God and the Bible in you. Be as an open Bible to everybody. Let them see God in you. Imagine, say I'm Christian and you have a cross or you are trying to speak God's word and you are not dressed properly, or you always share in jokes that are not suitable for God's children and use language that no one even should ever accept, and you should not accept it in your presence. You teach them that when you are there, bad language should not be used. Bad jokes should not be used. I am God's son or daughter. I am a leader, not a follower. I tell them this is very wrong. This is not happiness when you share with people in bad jokes and bad language. Where is happiness here? You became a follower. You follow them. They say the bad joke and you laugh with them. You become one of them. You are not God's son anymore. The third and the last point, you must focus on service, not self. In the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, St. Paul said, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Through love, serve one another. Let's get out of our way and serve. Let's find out what can we do. You come out to say, what can I do? Don't wait for someone to come and help you out. You're a member of the church. You should ask, what can I do to help? What can I do for the church, not what the church will do for me? Get out of your way and be a servant as God himself, who used to walk every time and everywhere, and he never stopped. That did not stop him from going out in retreat every day to go out in retreat to pray and have the time with his disciples. So being in service doesn't mean we'll take you away from God. You must have your own time with God. Not to be selfish, but to be humble and give yourself in service. I remember reading one of the funny stories about a young child whose name is Johnny, and his mom was saying, Johnny, You ate all that cake without thinking of your little sister? So John replied and said, No, I was thinking all the time about my sister. I was afraid that she will come before I finish eating the cake. So he was thinking all the time in the wrong way. Let's do it the positive way, that we will think about brothers and sisters. How can we make them happy and teach them how to be good servants of the Lord? As you hear about Tertullian, Tertullian was a church scholar in the early church years. And one time he wrote a very interesting statement. He said, "He who lives to benefit himself confers on the world a benefit when he dies." In other words, the world is blessed or benefit when selfish people die. That's what he meant. I want, when I die, to leave a good message for everyone that I have been a good servant of God. I have been a good example. I was an easy read Bible for everyone through my actions, my words, my laugh, my smile, that I can bring to everybody. No matter how much I get in hard time or tribulation in service, that's the blessing. It is a blessing to go through it. I remember a story about Pope Carolus. As many of the elders here who attended the time of Pope Carolus in Egypt, that he used to stand up after the liturgy for many, many hours to hear the people, their problem, and bless them and see what they have in mind. Everyone, he can spend time as long as it takes until he finished the whole line of people waiting. And if all, many of you may know, he had clotting in his leg, which was very hurting for someone to stand up during liturgy or even to greet everyone. But he used to stand and wait to bless everyone, no matter what. And he used to think about how to make his people happy, attending the tasbihah with them. Like how many times I ask for people to come for tasbihah, where you really feel that you are praising God and praying the most highly recommended prayer, because you do not ask for anything for yourself. He even cared about pleasing the angels. One time they told him there is a church in old Egypt, old Cairo, that's Masr al-Adima, and in this church called St. Barbara, there was no liturgy for some time. When he heard that it was around midnight, maybe like 1 o'clock in the morning, he called the deacon and the driver. And the deacon at the time was the person who became Abba Mina, the abbot of St. Mina Monastery later on. They went at 1 o'clock in the morning to go pray the tasbihah and the liturgy in that church. Why? Because he wanted to please the angel of that church. Because he had that good intention, when they went, they found the door was locked, could not open it. There was no one at that time. And as you know how holy Baba Carolus was, he stood up in the front of the door and he blessed it by the cross and he said, "Open all your gates for the Lord God to come in." And the moment he finished crossing the door opened and they went inside and they did tasbihah and the liturgy. Pope Carolus used to care about people and even the angels to make them happy. So the question is, how much would you do to make other people happy in your life? If you are happy, you will reflect your happiness on others. If you are not, number one, you do not know God, the real knowledge of God. Number two, you are deceiving yourself because you show that you are God's son or daughter. God's children are very, very happy and joyful people. Very. Again, let me differentiate between the time of service. You are a soldier in the church. You are standing as a strong person praying, praising God. Like the angels, they do not laugh or tease or use cell phone during the service. They are very strong. You finish, we are a family having our good time. In conclusion, there is a certain amount of happiness available to us, of course, in this life. But the ultimate happiness, the most highly considered happiness that you should keep in your mind is eternity. In the book of John, chapter 10, verse 10, the Lord said, "I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." So you enjoy life here and in heaven. When you live with God from this moment on, you are now like eating the appetizer. The main meal will be when you go to heaven. So keep yourself ready. Prepare yourself for the time to go and be with God. God will give you the happiness here and in heaven. And when we have the happiness from God, it is an everlasting happiness, not a short time temporary happiness. No, not from God. God never offers temporary things. He always gives everlasting things, and He is always willing to give you when and if you ask for it. He will not force Himself on you because He respects your free will. He gave you the free will, so He will respect it. So all what it takes is that you ask for it. God, give me happiness. Let me make other people happy. Let me serve them and forget about myself. Let me be your true son and daughter who is created in your image and likeness. So be a red Bible to everyone and let God use you for His glory, not your glory. The glory is to God now and forever and ever. Amen.